I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. We've been reporting on the United Way of Central Maryland statewide analysis that revealed a staggering statistic. One out of three households in Maryland has income above the federal poverty level, but not enough to cover basic necessities like food and housing. The acronym is ALICE: Assets Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. Last spring, we interviewed two mothers who are Alice's and wanted to check in with them again. Heather Hausen talks candidly about trying to get ahead, and Victoria Cox explained how she's navigated a job loss and several other obstacles over the past year.
The primary thing was me staying positive, because nobody else is going to be able to help you if you won't commit to yourself first.
It's on the record after the news. Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Last May, we reported about United Way of Central Maryland's statewide analysis called the ALICE Report. It revealed the staggering statistic that about one out of three households in Maryland has income above the federal poverty level, but not enough to cover basic necessities like housing, food, childcare, healthcare, and transportation. ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed, what many people would call the working poor. Around that time, we interviewed two working mothers who represent the ALICE population. Their frank comments provided reality-based answers to the question, who really is ALICE? 6 months later, we want to check in with them again. First, we visited Victoria Cox. We met up with her at her home, cooking a light dinner. Her two little boys were spending some time at their grandmother's. So here we are with Victoria Cox. How did 2017 go?
I won't say I didn't have my trials and my tribulations. I did. But I had a different outlook on them. So instead of being negative, I promised myself I would stay positive. And I actually wound up losing my job.
You lost your job?
Yes, I did. I wound up being terminated one day before my 120-day probation period was up. I don't really want to go into details, but what I will say about the entire experience, because I am still currently unemployed, is that me choosing to remain positive made all the difference in how I'm dealing with and handling things. Not allowing myself to get set in a state of depression or, woe is me, as sometimes we do when things don't go as we think that they should. I just believe that things happen for a reason. And me losing my job has allowed me to venture off into other things that I really want to focus on. I really want to do work in the community to help people. And so I am currently working on, with the help of my church that I attend, we are currently working on a housing initiative. And so just me being terminated allowed me to have the freedom to move about as I need to.
So, of course, I applaud this incredibly positive attitude toward what most people would see as a real setback. But you still have bills to pay. I mean, you talked to us the last time about the rent and the childcare and all this, and how there were months when you had to say to yourself, do I pay the bills or do I live?
I'm not set financially, but I'm still here and I'm still living. And every month my bills and my needs are being met. And so, again, I just believe that sometimes what we think is the best thing for us might not be. And if we take that step towards what we really want to do and want to accomplish, I just believe that everything comes with that. And so because of that, I just have, faith that my situation will get better. It has to, because the direction that I'm taking is positive.
So when did this happen? When did you lose your job?
I lost my job in July of 2017.
And you said your financial needs are being met?
So I am receiving assistance, government assistance, as well as through United Way. United Way works with my son's school, and so they work with families that are in need to stay stable and stay housed. But I also do receive unemployment, so I have been job searching as well. It's a little tough, though, as far as trying to find another job that fits what you would like to do and what you have skills in. But I'm still looking, and I'm still staying positive and optimistic.
That's Victoria Cox, mother of two, here on The Record on WYPR. She heads one of the 750,000 Maryland households that, according to a study by United Way, don't earn enough money to cover a survival budget. Well, all this reminds me of when we talked the last time, and I asked kind of what you had learned through the trials and tribulations that you described at that point. And you said the biggest thing you had learned was don't give up. So tell me more about how that plays out in the situation you're in now, heading into 2018.
It comes into play when it's just being honest with yourself and what you're willing to deal with, what you're willing to tolerate, what you're willing to accept in your life. And knowing those things, you have to have complete honesty. And so I made the choice in at the beginning of 2017 that no matter what happened, I would absolutely remain positive and I would not let myself get diverted or distracted. At first, I will be honest, I was a little hurt. I did become a little discouraged, but I stopped myself and I said, everything happens for a reason. It's called life, because life brings certain things to us at different points in times, and we have to learn how to face them and deal with them. And it's in that dealing and it's in that facing the obstacles that life presents to us that we become stronger. And so with my attitude to remain positive, that has been, I would say, the biggest thing that has helped me maneuver through not having a job. Planning and mapping and knowing that these are your bills. How are you going to make sure that these bills are met? What are you going to do to make sure that your needs, you know, are supplied? And I believe in God. So I give all the glory and all the honor to him, because he just has opened up doors for me that I would have never imagined, such as being able to volunteer for United Way and help out with their campaign. I never could have imagined that I would be able to stand in front of a crowd and, you know, just motivate everybody else the way that I motivate myself. So, I was kind of nervous when I did it, but it wasn't really hard, because these are the things that I tell myself. And I do know that with going into the line of work that I'm trying to, you know, get into now, I do know that motivation and encouragement is one of the biggest things that keeps people going. A lot of people aren't willing to open up and share what they've been through, but I find that people want real, and you have some understanding and some feeling of what it is that they're going through. And so with me just, you know, saying, hey, I've had an eviction notice. I've had a BGE cutoff notice. You know, there's been months where my kids ate and I didn't. Like, just that honesty right there alone is what I found that truly connects you to other people. And being willing to say, ask them, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Are you trying to stay positive? What I'm saying to people is extremely hard, but the outcome of staying positive outweighs all of the energy and the strength that it takes you to be that.
Your little boys, Austin is 3 and Dorian is 7.
Yes.
How are they doing?
They have no clue. So I try to live my life. They are kids, and that is what I want my children to remain. I want my kids to be 7, and I want my son, Austin, I want him to be 3. And they are children. And so just because I'm struggling, I try to do my best as their mother to make sure the outcome for them allows them to remain a child.
Something else you told us last time we talked was, don't be afraid to open your mouth. Say something if you need help. How has that played out?
My needs are being met. My needs are absolutely being met. for some reason, when people struggle and they go through, I do understand being ashamed of not being able to be the head honcho, of not being to always remain strong. But at the end of the day, we are human. We have to embrace every element of our human selves. And with that, we have to embrace our weaknesses. And we have to realize that sometimes we do fail. And with us failing, it's not for us to beat ourselves up. It's for us to learn. It's for us to say, hey, this is what was going right. This is what was going wrong. With the things that were going wrong, where can I improve? How can I make this better? Because if every time something happens to you, you're always negative and you're always, you know, down about it, and I can't, and it won't happen for me, and it's not going to happen for me, how do you ever expect things to change? So you have to change the way you think. You have to change the way you go about doing things. And I think that in this portion of my life, that is one of the biggest things that has been at the forefront, just keeping my mindset changed.
I'm so impressed with your attitude. How do you do that?
It's not just me. I have a very good support system. For the most part, these are people that I've met along my journey. And I met them along my journey because I opened my mouth. And so, again, when I tell you to open your mouth and say something, you never know who you might be talking to. You never know who the person is or what position they carry or how they might be able to influence, encourage, help out, give you a different train of thought, give you a different starting point for what you're trying to accomplish or what you need to get done. You never know. It just might be an encouraging word that they give you that keeps you going for that day or that hour or, you know, those couple of seconds. So when I tell you to open your mouth, you are not alone. You will be very surprised when you start talking to people about all of the things, the everyday struggles that people go through, and opening your mouth and having that conversation. I'm dealing with the same things that you're dealing with. Those are the things that have helped me to get through 2017. But again, the primary thing was me staying positive, because nobody else is going to be able to help you if you won't commit to yourself first.
What are your hopes for 2018?
So I've already started strategizing. One of my hopes is to find employment, but I want to find employment in that community service realm. So definitely that in 2018, as well as the housing project. I will be able to help people through the housing project and the community work at my church. And I am looking forward to going back to school in the fall. So I have about 32 credits until I finish my degree. And I would definitely like to do that for myself, because I had to stop when I had my kids. And so because life has kind of calmed down, I do see me reaching for school again in the fall of 2018.
Victoria, I wish you luck. I hope all this plays out well.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you guys coming back to interview me.
Victoria Cox, community worker and volunteer and mother of Austin and Dorian. I'm Sheila Cass. This is On the Record. After a short break, we'll meet another working mom who fits the profile of Alice: asset limited, income constrained, employed. Stay tuned. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. We're learning more this morning about the trade-offs made by 750,000 households in Maryland, most of them families with incomes above the poverty line, but not enough to cover monthly necessities like rent, childcare, food, and transportation. We spoke earlier with Victoria Cox, who is part of that population, and now we check in again with Heather Housand, mother of three and a dental office manager in Baltimore County. It's so nice to see you again, Heather.
You as well. Thank you.
When we spoke to you last year, you were making strides in digging yourself out of debt that was a result of an extended maternity leave. So how's that going?
Actually, that's going well because now I'm actually full time at the new office that I was in the process of coming into last time we spoke, and I'm fitting in there well and everything seems to be going great. And I feel like I'm making much more. I feel like I have enough to give me a little leeway now. I have a little more cushion.
And you've been able to pay down your debts?
I have. I'm working on that. Last time, I think when I talked to you, I was more kicking out my money for my bills, but it wasn't as much coming in to replenish it or to put back what I needed. And now I'm feeling like I'm not where I would love to be, but I feel like I have a little more comfort. Like I'll be a little more at ease now.
Well, last time we talked, I think we talked about how you had to sort of do a triage many months. You had to sort of figure out which bills I'm going to pay on time and which bills I'm going to let slide.
So I'm still kind of doing that. It's just not as drastic of balances that I'm dealing with because I'm paying this down a little more and a little more as I can, especially now since I have a few extra dollars. Well, they're not extra because they're already spent and I already have accounts that are past due. But I feel like I'm accomplishing something because I'm not getting any further behind. That's one good thing. I'm not getting any further behind than what I already was. So that's a plus for me because I was just getting further and further behind. So now I at least put a stop to that. My past due balances are far from paid off, but I'm not getting any more in the negative.
How are the kids?
They're great. Chance is 15 months. And I know that we talked last time about some of his health issues. So we're overcoming some of that. He's actually going for his 1 year reevaluation with the physical therapist today.
Remind us what Chance's health issues are.
He had what was plagiocephaly, which is one half of his head was very flat and one half of it was round. And we come to find out that all that stemmed from him having torticollis, which is the shortening of one of his main neck muscles. He just started rolling at 11 months. He's not where he should be for speech. He doesn't say words. He makes more noises. So I'm having him tested for autism. And he did wear a helmet. It's called a Doc Band, which is a helmet he was wearing for 9 months. He's grown out of that, which was to help the shaping of his head. Now his hair is so full and curly that you really can't tell the problem with the head shape. So I'm just taking it step by step. And I have a middle schooler. She's doing middle school things. She's being a 12-year-old. I'm still learning her. I'm learning a lot of new things now because it's my first time through this age group. And my 5-year-old, she's my troublemaker. If it can be done, she's going to be the one to do it.
How are you covering the costs of the medical interventions that Chance needs?
So I do have state insurance medical assistance, which is a blessing. The only thing that they haven't covered is his chiropractor, and that was $210 a month. But a lot of times because of his age, they don't recommend chiropractic treatment. I did that because a few other doctors and things thought it may help, and it really did. So I really felt like it was fine with me paying out of pocket. I mean, I just had to weigh my options at that point, and he made a tremendous jump when he was being hands-on with a chiropractor. And I feel like that was worth every dollar, so I had to fork that out. I had no options there.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Heather Housand. She heads one of the 750,000 Maryland households that, according to a study by United Way, don't earn enough to cover a survival budget. Will your children's medical coverage be affected by state or federal changes?
So I'm still trying to figure that part out. I haven't really looked much into what the new rules or new regulations are, but I do have a feeling that I'm going to have to pay a percentage out of pocket now. So they're basically saying you have to be like poor to be able to get the insurance. But I've noticed that a lot of the government or state programs that offer you help, if you make a little bit of money, it kind of like cuts you off. And when you give like how much you pay for rent and how much you pay for BG, they don't take any of that stuff into consideration. So I went to apply for child care vouchers for help with my daycare, which is more than my rent every month. And with the child care vouchers, they asked for pay stubs, which I don't mind giving at all because it's no secret, you know. So they asked for my pay stubs, and then they cut my voucher down $30 more. So I called to ask them why was my voucher cut, and she's saying because you make such and such amount, a little more than what you did last time you turned them in. And I said, yeah, but I pay $1,000 a month for rent. My BG&E is $350. She said, oh, we don't take that stuff into consideration. I said, but I still have to live. So it's not like the pay stubs you're getting are just devoted to my childcare. You know, they don't take that stuff into consideration, which I'm finding is about a lot of things. And that's getting a little difficult because it's not as easy to get the help anymore. It's not.
When we spoke with you last year, you mentioned that you were interested in purchasing a house. Any progress?
No, I signed up for like a homeowners type workshop and then I canceled my appointment. I'm just not ready. I'm nowhere near ready. Like I really want to, I have gotten my credit score up to a 650 and I started at like a 420. My biggest thing with that is my student loans. I feel like I accrued at least $3,000 extra worth of interest a year. I have not started paying on them. I can't afford it with my regular everyday living. I have filed economic hardship and I get approved for it every time. You have to keep doing that yearly, which basically it brings your student loan as current. So if somebody was to look into it, I'm not delinquent. I haven't made any payments, but it doesn't show as negative.
And you still accrue interest.
You still accrued interest. Everything just still keeps ticking. But if somebody was to look into it, I'm not delinquent.
These are the loans you incurred that you took out when you were getting what?
For a dental assisting in medics. And that was in 2009. This started out as a $14,000 program after my graduation. And now I'm up to $27,000.
Because we had talked about you were thinking of going back to school.
I'm still thinking about that. I definitely would have to wait until chances in school full time just because of my support system is not at all good. And I just want to make sure that I'm able to still be reliable for my children because I'm the one reliable for them, you know, drop off, pick up, you name it. The only thing I could do was consolidate my loan. So my interest isn't coming from everywhere. So I did that. So now my interest that I'm accruing is a little less, but it's still $27,000.
I want to loop back to something you said before. I had asked you whether you thought federal and state rules would affect you, and you were saying it was more difficult. Was it ever easy?
It was easier. So I guess when you apply, they put your like ratio to how many's in your family. So it'll be like a family of four, and then they give you a bracket. If you fall between this bracket and that bracket, you're approved. Well, that bracket keeps getting lower and lower and lower. So if you make more than that, you can't get the help. So it's like for a family of four, if you make over like maybe $26,000 a year, you don't qualify if you make over that. Well, I make 27. So now I don't qualify because I have a new job and I'm making a couple more dollars. Well, that pushes me right over that bracket by $100 and I don't make it. I don't qualify for as much help as I was getting for my child care. Like things have definitely changed. When I applied for child care vouchers for my daughter Janiyah, who's 12 now, and she's been in childcare from one until she started school fully, I've never had to pay out of pocket. Now my childcare voucher is down so much that my childcare lady charges $220 a week. My voucher covers $73 a week. So every 2 weeks out of pocket, I still pay close to $300 myself. And I'm only bringing home $1,200 every 2 weeks. My rent's $1,000. So yeah, it's getting... Paycheck to paycheck is not even a term I could use because my paychecks don't even make it. Thank God I had some savings from my taxes last year that I still have in my bank because I never can do anything extra because that's another thing that's pretty stressful. I never get to do anything extra or things that I would like to do with my kids because I feel like all my money's emergency money, all of my money. Like I'm still have my taxes in the bank from last year, a couple thousand dollars of them because I have to. Like, God forbid if they turn off my BG&E because I'm 3 months behind, like, I have to pay it. Like, I can't really do anything. I don't have a lot of comfort. Like, I don't have a big comfort zone. Like, no, I can't pick up and go, hey, let's go, whatever, go on to Ocean City for the weekend. I can't do that. All my money is, I don't spend it. I save every single dollar I can because it's all emergency to me.
So even though your income is up a bit, it sounds like you feel as financially stressed as ever.
I feel like I'll never not be financially stressed. I won't. Owning my own and I feel like I'm paying a mortgage to own something sounds better. It would be great. But I have there's a lot of steps, big steps before I get there. And I know they have the programs that help you with this and that. But then after all these programs help you get into the house, I still have to pay for that once they all leave. And once those programs are done, like I'm locked into that and I can't afford anything else. Like I don't have any derogatory marks. My only big thing, like I said, is those $27,000 school loans, but my actual debt is probably $4,000. And that's that I'm paying on. And that's credit cards that I have maxed because I pay my medical bills and stuff with those. And I just don't pay them back all at once. I pay them a lot of times. I know it's not a good, but the minimum payment or a little more. But yeah, other than that student loan, I would be fine. If I could get rid of that, my credit score would jump tremendously. But I just do what I can.
You're doing a lot. Good luck.
Thank you. I need it.
Heather Housand, dental office manager and mother of three. We spoke earlier with Victoria Cox. We checked in with both women, having met them last year as representatives of United Way of Central Maryland's statewide assessment. They found that 750,000 Maryland households don't earn enough to cover a survival budget. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you've been listening. Join us again tomorrow.